This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you here. Just give us a call. This is the way that you do it. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We love having that holy conversation with you, and we invite you to call us today and every weekday right here on Women of Grace Live. We also invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page to insert your question or comment, and we will get it retrieved and up on the board, and we will be able to address it. Well, today is Wednesday. You know what that means. The Wacky Women of Wacky Wednesday are with you. That would be Sue Brinkman and myself as we talk about the very strange things that we see happening here in our own culture. And I have to say, you know, throughout Western civilization, quite frankly, we certainly do try to address some of those questions and those comments that come into us, and also to give you additional insight and advice about how it is that we can face these challenging ideologies that are definitely striving to take control of the cultural mindset. And so that's what we do on Wednesdays, and we're inviting you to call with your questions or comments. 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986. All kinds of good things happening at Women of Grace. Excuse me. I do want to take you out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. I'm looking at it right now, certainly hoping that you'll get out there and take a peek at it as well. We've got a couple of events that we are just, I'm telling you, we are just like right on the verge of having happen. One of them is very exciting. I'm so excited about this. We're going to be at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church in Charleroi, PA. We're going to be there this weekend. Yes, we are. There's a one-day Pentecost event happening on Saturday, which is June the 7th. We're inviting you to join us. There is still space available. I'll tell you, everybody's been working hard on this. Father Levi Hartle, Joseph Jacobs from Praise Nation, and all of the members of Praise Nation, as well as people at the parish, our Women of Grace team. We are looking forward to having this opportunity to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes, indeed. It is, in a way, the birthday of the church, and we want for you to come and celebrate with us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, is the theme for this beautiful one-day event. Looking forward to seeing you there. Do get out there to our website. You can find out all about it, and you can register there. We want for you to come. We surely do. As I often say, if you certainly want to experience the profound power of God, you've got to get under the spout where the glory pours out. And it's going to be pouring out through the spout of this one-day event taking place in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church. Coriopolis is just outside of Pittsburgh, not too terribly far. I'll tell you, I'm going to be there, and I am looking forward to it. Mike Aquilina is going to be joining me. He's going to be presenting as well. The schedule is there for you on our website. You can take a peek at that and see what it's about. We're going to feature twice. I've been telling you about it for a number of weeks now, and here we are. We're down to the wire. So I'm looking forward to being with you in just a couple of days. Well, actually, what is it? 3 days. Today's Wednesday. We've got Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday we're going to be together. So I'm inviting you to join us there. Don't miss out on this beautiful opportunity that everyone has been so looking forward to, and that we have been working hard to prepare for your arrival. So do let us know. We want to get the food ordered properly. You know, we're down to the wire on that too. But there's still time. That's what I want to communicate to you. There is still time. I also want to invite you to check out our Benedicta Institute for Women. Our summer 2025 immersive course is available for you. And I'll tell you, I am so excited about this. Frankly, I've taken this course. So I know what you are going to receive by way of this course. And it's going to be such a boost, I think, for your own spiritual life, your own union with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality. It's going to begin June 30th and run to August the 3rd. The meeting is on Thursdays. The whole thing is laid out for you online. You just have to go out there and take a look at it. You will enjoy what it is that you are going to receive by way of the instruction of Dr. Donald Wallenfang. But let me tell you something else. You are going to be spiritually enriched by it. And I don't know what it's like for you, but I am always wanting to grow in my life of union with God. I'm always looking for the ways and the means by which I can do it. And sometimes we have to give of ourselves to receive that, right? There's got to be that act of surrendering, that act of fiat that opens our hearts, opens our minds, dilates the interiority of our being to receive all of the privileges and the graces that God wants us to know. This course will help you to do that. Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality, beginning June 30th. So check that out at our website. Just go into the Benedicta Institute for Women itself, or you're going to find it right there presented to you on the slideshow, which is a hyperlink and will take you to the landing page. You can read all about this course. You can sign up and register for it, and you can find out more about our Benedicta Institute for Women and the beautiful spiritually enriching program that we offer that is also a means for you to gain a certification in Catholic women's leadership. Something else that's coming up. This is coming up the end of July, and it is our annual retreat, our Women of Grace annual retreat at Malvern Retreat House, which is right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's going to be held July 25th to the 27th. It is preceded, however, by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. And if you're in the certification program, this particular course will count towards that. It's going to be led again by Dr. Donald Wallenfang. I'm quite excited about this. It's a beautiful program that he's going to be sharing with us for this Benedicta Institute for Women. And it is going to be on conflict, and how it is that we resolve conflict in a holy way. And I'll tell you, I think we are all going to benefit by way of this. Certainly, we've all been involved in some kinds of conflicts, right? What kind of conflicts? Well, within the context of our family, within the context of our job, within the context of our profession, with standing firm for Jesus Christ in the day and time in which we live. All of this will be discussed in a way that helps for us in practical terms to meet the challenges that are ours in those moments. So I'm hoping that you'll take a look at that. The retreat itself begins on the 25th, and it is, as I say, hope for the journey. I'm going to be speaking. Bishop William Walterscheid, auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, is going to be joining us. Dr. Wallenfang will be with us. Kitty Cleveland will be with us, and we've just confirmed that Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us as well. You can read about all of these presenters at our website, womenofgrace.com. We'll have music with Living Praise Worship Team. We'll have a healing service. You're going to be uplifted. It's going to be a time really of entering more deeply into that beautiful, beautiful virtue of hope that is ours by way of our baptism, but also the practical application of that as we face the situations that confront us in our everyday lives. So all of that being said, lots going on for you at Women of Grace all of the time, and today too, because it's Wacky Wednesday, and when we come back, Sue Brinkman is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about some of that wacky stuff. Give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. I'm Jonette Williams. We're coming right back. It's Women of Grace Live on a Wacky Wednesday. Well, there you have it. It is the Wacky Music for Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman and Johnnet Williams here live today to take your questions and comments about some of the strange things that we see happening in our culture today and ideologies, you know, that are really pressing down on us. And, you know, Sue, I'm so happy you're here. I want to welcome you once again. Sue is with us every Wednesday. You can send your questions to us if you prefer to do it that way. Just use this email address, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We will receive your question. We'll be able to address it on a Wednesday program. But also, you can call us. We love to receive your calls. Yes, we do. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here. We love hearing you. We have Tom Price screening today. Yes, we do. He loves to screen. I think he does. Anyway, I know that you know who he is. But when you call in, be sure to tell him that you know who he is and say, "Hi, Tom, how are you today?" He'll be only too happy to respond to you in a very pleasant way because he's just that kind of a pleasant guy. Tom Price is. Yes, he is. In every way, we have Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature. Put in your name, of course. We want to know who you are, where you're calling from. If you're not listening to us via, you know, via the YouTube or the Facebook page, then tell us how it is you're listening to us. Don't forget to put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, and word of encouragement. We will get that. We also want to invite you to use the text messaging opportunity that we've got for you. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We'll be only too happy to get that retrieved and up on the board. Sue, you know, I wanted to welcome again.
Thank you.
I'm off to the races today. I don't know. I've got a little pep in my step this morning. But I wanted to just share with you that I just finished reading Matthew Bunsen's book on Pope Leo the 14th. And I am going to be interviewing him tomorrow in that book. I read it in one day because I couldn't put it down. I really did an extensive read, however, you know, underlined with notes in the margin and things like that. Just an excellent book. And it was interesting because he was talking in there, Matthew was, about some of the challenges that, you know, the Holy Father faces at this moment in time. And the Holy Father, prior to being Holy Father, even really prior to being named a cardinal, was talking about some of these challenges. And he pointed out the press of ideologies that are very far away from the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, and actually occult ideologies. And of course, we know that he served in Peru for a long time, spent probably the greater part of his ordination years there in Peru, where there was a lot of the syncretism that we talk about. So he was very aware of it, but that isn't just located there. He was talking about this throughout Western civilization. So I thought that was really interesting and spoke to what it is that we do on Wacky Wednesday.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. That really is a relief to me. You know, the earth goddess Pachamama, that comes from Peru. Remember that earth goddess that they had at a Vatican event and everybody was all upset about that? Yeah, they're very into the Andean-type cosmology over there in Peru. So I'm glad to hear that he's aware of this. He knows that it's a problem and he's speaking about it, not afraid to speak about it. I think that's a great thing. We need to have more of that in our church right now. I think this show kind of highlights that every week, just about people don't understand a lot of these things. They need to be taught. They need to be taught. Right. So hopefully he will step up and do that. You know, Pope Francis was very adamant about the presence of the devil, the nature of the devil, that he was a being, that it was dangerous to believe that the devil was just a concept. He spoke about that throughout his entire pontificate, almost to the point where he was ridiculed by the secular media, of course. They ridiculed him for it. They didn't want him to talk about it. Why is he so obsessed with the devil, you know, and all that kind of stuff? So this is a relief to me. I'm glad, and I look forward to those shows. I think they're going to be great.
Oh, I think that they will be too. Well, you know, any program that we do with Matthew Bunsen is just always a winner because he's just such an erudite speaker. But in addition to that, he is so knowledgeable in so many areas. And, you know, I call him like a walking encyclopedia. And so he pulled together a lot of information with regard to parallels between Leo the 13th and now Leo the 14th and the significance of him taking that name. And that was one of the things that he pointed out was that, you know, when Leo the 13th was Holy Father, it was the time of the Industrial Revolution. And he really, I would say, is the father of, you know, the social doctrine of the church. Really, I think in a great way, if not the pioneer of that, certainly one who talked about it in a way that was very tender, but also very firm. And so, you know, Matthew was pulling out the fact that it was the Industrial Revolution that he was facing, and now we have a revolution, you know, of you know, another sort here, which is the technological revolution. Mm-hmm. And the threat of AI, you know, coupled with all of these strange ideologies. And it's just a great read. I hope everybody gets a copy of the book. It is hot off the press. It's the first biography written on Pope Leo the 14th. So it's really a great
one. What is the title again?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh, that's okay. That's
I will tell you in a minute. I will tell you in a minute. Okay. During the break, I'll run down and get the book. I know exactly where it is. The programs that we're doing is Who is Pope Leo the 14th? But and his name, of course, is in the title there. So it's available through EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. So yeah, it's really great. And I'll dash downstairs really fast and pull that book up so that I can give everybody the appropriate title for it. You would think I would have that part memorized.
No, not necessarily. You're so involved in what's inside the book. I think that's better than remembering the cover.
Yeah. Remember the author, you know? And Pope Leo the 14th. And but I should have that at the ready. But I didn't know I was going to talk about it, but felt like I should, just based on the fact that you and I have been at this for so many years. And when you get that kind of support, and it's wonderful. And not to say that the prior Holy Fathers have not given that kind of support to these topics. They certainly have. But I think that with the advent of AI, there is there's a heightened awareness of the threshold that we are on, and that we are facing the capacity to become really, really caught up in stuff that is beyond where we should be. And I'm hoping that there's some type of a, you know, an ethical reality that comes along with this. Anyway, so we've got some callers that are calling in. Alice is with us. We're going to ask you to hold for a minute, Alice, as I give numbers and Sue and I chit-chat for just a couple of more minutes. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us here. That's 833-288-3986. We are here to answer your questions today about the weird and the wacky. Do give us a call. And I'll tell you one thing. If we don't know the answer, I can tell you what's going to happen. Sue is going to go out and research it, and we'll talk about it at another time. But in most cases, because we have been about this for so many years, we can kind of get a real fast handle on what you're talking about there, just because we know the underpinnings of these things. Not that, you know, it's something that everybody ought to know, but we should be able to discern truth from falsehood. That is necessary for each one of us. So that's 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We like to keep the people that are in charge of those ways of receiving communication from you very busy. So I'd like to keep Tom Price very busy. He's answering phones today. I'd like to keep Pedro Quiles very busy today. He's retrieving your questions and comments. So let's work on that together. We don't want them to fall asleep on us. And so Sue, lots to talk about. You and I were chit-chatting the other day, and you have a hot topic for us today.
Oh yes, the haunted doll tour.
Yes,
that is
this
right
is
now
scary stuff.
Touring the United States. It's that haunted Raggedy Ann doll known as Annabelle. And it has been housed all these years in the Warren Occult Museum, which was operated by the paranormal investigators, very controversial couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren. This was up in Monroe, Connecticut, where the museum is, and it's been housed in there for decades. And they decided to take it on tour with a lot of other things from the museum. The museum actually closed in 2019, so now they're traveling the country and they're bringing the Annabelle doll with them. And it's a Raggedy Ann doll is what it is, that everybody believes is haunted. Now, if anybody doesn't know her story, Annabelle, this began in 1970 when the doll, Raggedy Ann doll, was given to a student nurse. And shortly thereafter, this doll started to act strangely. It would move from room to room and move things around in the room and that sort of thing. And the student eventually consulted with a psychic medium who claimed that the doll was inhabited by the spirit of a deceased child named Annabelle. And the nurse and her roommate tried to show compassion to this allegedly possessed doll and make it feel better about itself or whatever. I don't know what they were doing, but it only became more malicious and frightening, and it even started to attack people.
Oh,
And
dear
this is
heavens.
when Ed and Lorraine Warren became involved, and they were determined that the doll was being manipulated by a demon, and they performed an exorcism. So we know right there's a problem right there. Lay people can't perform exorcisms. They removed the doll, they placed it in a glass case inside the museum with instructions never to move it. And there's a sign on the front that says, warning, positively do not open. And I just laugh every time I look at that picture of the doll in there with the warning sign on it. And I think, do you really think the devil can be kept out by a little glass case? I mean, this is kind of funny. But anyway, when the news of this doll, appearing during the tour started to get out, people became frightened about it. They didn't want that doll around. And they were writing to the people who were sponsoring the tour, which is New England Society for Psychic Research, which is the Warrens. That was their organization. And they started to email them and text them and say stuff, you got to stop doing this. You can't, you Annabelle's never supposed to leave that museum. Now they're blaming, ever since I wrote the blog, there's even more going on out there about Annabelle on tour. They're blaming that the prison escape in New Orleans on the
Oh,
fact that
geez.
the doll happened to be traveling down the highway, which was within 10 miles of that prison, right before the prison break. So they're blaming the prison break. Everybody's blaming everything on that. Well, Annabelle was near my neighborhood, and that's why this happened. So people are really up in arms about it. Very, very up in arms about it. Now, is this object cursed in some way? It's very possible to have been cursed, but from what exorcists tell us, it's very, very difficult. It's very rare, rather, I should say, not difficult, but very rare for an object to be infested. It's never possessed, by the way, so I don't really know why they did an exorcism, but they it's you can't possess an object. The devil does not possess an object. It attaches itself to that object, and it was exposed to some kind of evil, and it's generally then used to harm someone. So that's really where the danger comes in from Annabelle. But she's really just on this tour, and she's not really being used in any way, just being shown to people. But I was kind of amused by somebody who weighed in on this, and she's a haunted doll collector, and she only gave her first name, which is Teej, Teej, and she's very upset about the way Annabelle's spirit is being treated. Now, here's where you get into how people don't understand. They don't understand the supernatural at all. And she says, you know, we don't even know Annabelle's true story. We owe it not only to her, but to all spirits to start asking the real questions and getting evidence on who they are and what happened to them. Like the devil's going to tell you who he is. He's never going to tell you who he is. He's always going to say he's Annabelle, he's this or he's that. He's never going to tell you who he is, even if he is, infesting that particular or cursing that doll. And she goes on to say how she only works with positive spirits in her haunted doll museum because relationships develop over time with the spirits.
Oh,
I
dear
thought, well,
heavens.
this young lady is in terrible trouble. She says many of these spirits have a genuine desire to communicate and to be acknowledged. And that opens the door to meaningful communications and respectful communications. So she wants them to be treated with respect. And she goes on to say that she's very mindful, though, of safety. And when she investigates haunted locations, she says, I always have the option to leave. But my home is my safe space, and I don't risk inviting in any spirit that could bring harm or disruption to me or my family by setting clear boundaries, she says. I'm able to stay open to paranormal experiences. You're staying open to a lot more than just paranormal experiences, my dear. She has a, well, she's saying are haunted objects. Who knows if they truly are haunted objects, but she says she has a whole collection of them. I think most of it is, most of these infestations are in her imagination. But what really intrigued me was the way she referred to these spirits, as if they're like these friendly people who just need to be invited in and given a cup of tea and told they're welcome. And not understanding that, you know, preternatural beings, unless they're angels from the Lord, are not someone you want to invite into your home and treat with respect. I mean, you want to have a fear of them and the power of them. And I'm not talking about a morbid fear. I'm talking about respecting the power that they have and the damage that they can do to you. That's what kind of fear I'm talking about here. But you don't just invite people, you know, spirits into your house and say, well, I don't know what your true story is, but I want to give you a little sympathy and give you a place to stay for a while. This is extremely dangerous and very childish. It's almost like, you know, they're making little fairy tales out of this stuff. So I found this to be a very, very interesting story. Now, the tour is still ongoing, and there's more going on out there. People are blaming all kinds of happenstances on the nearness of Annabelle to their location. So this is a continuing story. As they say, fluid. This is a fluid situation, and it's continuing to go on. But very interesting time we're living in right now.
No question about that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today, right here live on Women of Grace Live. It is a wacky Wednesday, as you can tell by way of what Sue has just shared with us. We talk about the strange things that are going on out there, and also try to give information on why it is that we want to stay away from such kinds of things. Do want to tell you, I've got the title of the book for you. Here it is. This is Matthew Bunsen's book. It's hot off the press. It's going to begin to ship on June the 9th. It's Leo the 14th, Portrait of the First American Pope. Leo the 14th, Portrait of the First American Pope. I just want to tell you, it is a must-read book. So get on out there. Pre-order your copy today. Know that it's going to be shipped in 5 days, right? From what I understand, already there's been lots and lots of orders for it. So get yours in as well. Leo the 14th, Portrait of the First American Pope. You hear that music? We're going to a break. When we come back, more with Sue Brinkman on the other side. We're going to be taking your calls at that time. Yes, we are. And we're excited about that. Looking forward to that. We've got some callers out there. Sue, Helen in Scranton, PA, Alice in Massachusetts. We're going to go to both of these lovely ladies. And we want to come to your call too, but you got to call us first. 833-288-EWTN. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. We're inviting you to call. It's Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're talking about the weird and the wacky. There's nothing too wacky for you to ask, because we will address it if we can. And if we can't, we'll tell you, well, we're going to research it and we'll get back to you on that. So do give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. You can also use EWTN Radio's chat feature at both of the social media sites, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, both of them available for you there. And you can text us, text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, put in your question or comment, tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening to us, and know that message and data rates may apply. Also want to let you know that if you have the MyTuner app, you can listen to EWTN Radio's live stream. So open the MyTuner app and search EWTN and you'll find it there, and you'll be able to just carry us around with you. Listen to us anytime that you want to. Want to let you know also that Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio, we're going to be talking about Beyond Damascus, the beautiful program that's there. We'll be talking about young Catholic adults sharing stories of their life within the Catholic Church and the blessings the faith brings them. This is really good. This is a program that's really aimed at the young Catholic adults. We need programs like that. Beyond Damascus is a very good one. So that's Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget that right after our program, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And we want for you to listen to all that they have to say and call into their program too. We want to hear from you first, though. 833-288-EWTN. Are you ready for some calls here, Sue?
Absolutely.
Goody, goody. Let's go to Alice. She is in Massachusetts, listening to us via the EWTN app. I'll tell you what, folks, if you don't have the EWTN app, download that one. Let that be the first one you download. Hey, Alice, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, welcome, welcome.
It's so good to hear your voice. I spoke to you about two or three years ago regarding my mom. She passed away on your birthday. And you prayed a lot, and I was crying a lot, and I accidentally hung up on you. But you were still praying, and I thank you so much for praying for my mom. I know she's in heaven. I know she's a saint. Her name is Anna Maria. But I wanted to share with you my grace-filled experience. I was I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've always been attacked spiritually, even in the womb. I was attacked, but just recently, I was working at a maternity home here in the state, and I was terminated. And for some, I believe, were silly reasons why I was terminated. But I, okay, I'm just catching my breath. I'm sorry. I'm very shaky. So I was terminated from this maternity home, but it was in my heart that I wanted to, because I adopted a child. And I wanted to start a program for open adoption. The maternity home has women that are in dire straits and need attention, need lots of attention while they're pregnant and after they deliver. And I saw an opportunity to provide adoption services, a maternity home for them. And having an open adoption so they can be aware of where the child is. And so I just wanted to see if I wanted to talk to Sue too and let her know about this. I don't know if this, I guess I need confirmation.
Confirmation with regard to moving forward with this desire for open adoption, Alice?
Yes. I want to start an open adoption agency, I guess, and just begin at my home. I have a big home. My daughter that's adopted, she's 16, and she's going to be leaving the house. And I just would like to provide a room, housing for them, for a woman who's pregnant. And after she delivers, to help her with postpartum depression, because it's very depressing to deliver a child and then surrender the child to another home, another family.
Yes, I would imagine that, you know, to have that kind of empathetic, compassionate response at a moment like that is something that would be grace-filled. So, you know, I'll let Sue address this too, but the very first thing I would ask you, anytime that we sense that the Lord might be calling us in a given direction, we want to do what you're doing, and that is seek discernment on that. And I always recommend that if you have a spiritual director or even a priest that is your confessor, one that you go to confession to most typically, someone that knows you well, knows your soul, has a sense of the way in which God works in your life, it would be very good to talk with them about that. Because anytime that we step out to do a beautiful work like this, we know that we are going to get pushback. It says in Sirach 2, my son, when you seek to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for battle or trial. That's another one. Or temptation. Those are some of the translations for that last word. But all of that being said, you know, I don't think that you should not continue to pursue it, at least do some of the groundwork. Obviously, when you're in this kind of an outreach, it's going to require certification. You're going to have to go through the hoops that are there governmentally for the protection of mother and child, their safety, also the standards, the medical standards that would be necessary. And so I think that there's a lot that would be involved that would be good for you to research even as you're in this discerning process, because some of that might be indicative of whether or not it's something that you can actually do or not. And that would also be something that would be of great importance for you if, in fact, you're hoping to bring these girls into your home and set your home up in such a way that they're going to be delivering the babies there. Now, on the other side of that, there's an option, and that option would be that you could simply get a certification in spiritual direction, and you could work with the girls in that regard without the reality of them giving birth in the facility that you would want to orchestrate. So your thoughts for Alice?
Yeah, I'm really going along with the latter part of what you're saying there. Well, really everything, but I especially was thinking when I was listening to Alice talk, so I don't know if this is a confirmation or not, that she should start moving ahead on it. Mm-hmm. And start working on different things and looking into what she needs to do with that. Because I have found this in the course of my lifetime, when I get started on it, I get the idea, and then I, run it by my spiritual director. Or if it's during a time when I don't have a spiritual director, we all know we go through, times like that too. I'll get started on it with goodwill in my heart, meaning yes. I want to do what God's willing for me. I'm not doing this for myself, for my ego. I want to do it because I believe that He's telling me to do it. Right. So therefore, I'm going to begin. And then I watch to see what happens. Is it going to actually happen? Is it going to work? Or are there going to be all kinds of these roadblocks, doors mm-hmm. that just don't open? Or will I find out things like you were suggesting, Johnette? Maybe she doesn't have the right kind of facility for this, or that right kind of medical background for it or something. And you're going to find out that way if this is what the Lord wants. So I wouldn't hold back on it. I would go ahead and pursue it and begin to look into it and try to get some idea as you're going along. Because a lot of times he asks you to take the first step.
That's right.
Out of faith. And then he'll come in and start to help you. So that's the advice that I would give.
Yeah,
to Alice.
Yeah. I think we're on the same track with regard to that. So Alice, I hope that you hear this and move forward in the direction that you feel as though you have discerned as the very first step. But any time that we're going to begin a work like this, a work for the Lord, we do very well by getting some insight from a spiritual director. You would want to have somebody like that in your life if you're going to do something like this. I don't know if you do or not, but that would be my suggestion to you, okay?
Jeanette, yeah, I see you as my spiritual director because I don't have
dear.
One here in this state.
Yes.
We moved to this cold state from Texas 8 years ago, and I'm still searching for good Catholic holy people, and you're one of them, Jeanette. So I'm hoping. I'm so glad. I'm glad you've let me have a voice. I'm sure people are hearing this and getting ideas in their head, and maybe they can give me resources.
Yes.
Because I need help. I'm a helper, and I'm not afraid to ask people to help me. But I need help, and my background is accounting, bookkeeping, numbers. But I have too big of a heart, and literally it is too big.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a heart can ever be too big, but discerning how it is that we move with that beautiful heart that we have is what your question is about here today, Alice. So begin to, look at the practicalities of this. Start there. See how practical this is. But the desire of your heart to be a spiritual mother to these young women, or not so young women, as they go through this process of letting go of the child that they've just given birth to, is a beautiful one. And that is really, I think, the locus here, whether or not it turns into something that involves the physical reality of that or not, I don't know. But your desire to nurture them through that time is just a beautiful, mm-hmm. wonderful charism of empathy that you're displaying there. So your first step might well be to think about that in terms of a program of spiritual direction. There's a lot of good ones out there. There's one in Clearwater, Florida, Our Lady of Divine Providence House of Prayer through their Cenacle. Has a beautiful program of spiritual direction, very, very, very noted in Catholic circles. I know that through the Avila Institute, there's also a program of spiritual direction. You could be, you know, settled in your spirit with regard to either one of those two opportunities. But, you know, you might want to consider starting there. The other thing is that there are spiritual directors that can walk with you through that time that you can find through those two areas. So Our Lady of Divine Providence House of Prayer in Clearwater, Florida, and Dan Burke's organization, the Avila Institute, that's located in Montgomery, Alabama. Both warm states, by the way. It'll get you out of the frozen tundra of Massachusetts. So you might consider that as an option during the winter to participate in one of those programs. I think that would be a really good first step for you as you're doing the research on what would be necessary for, the full blown reality of what is, taking root in your heart. Okay, do that. That I think that's a good step. Thanks, Alice. We appreciate you so very, very much. I want to go to line three, and then we're going to go to Helen. But I want to go to line three there because Michael is from Pennsylvania, and he wanted to talk a little bit about Annabelle and dolls. So can we get Michael on the air here? Oh, there he is. Very, very good. Thanks, Michael. He's listening to us via AM 720 Holy Family Radio. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Pax.
Hi.
How are you today?
We're good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Just happened to be listening to the radio and enjoying the comments. I just wanted to clarify on a few things based off of my own personal experiences and discernment. I've called before. I was exposed to a Ouija board when I was about five, which I had talked to you about before. And so Annabelle and dolls that, supposedly house spirits or entities of people, it's a lie. It's really demonic. If it is with an attachment of some kind, it's demonic, and they're not going to reveal their names because that is the power over them, and they will not give that to you. A lot of them will portray themselves and claim that they're the devil when they're really not the devil. The best thing to do in those situations, is not to challenge any of these entities. We have power over our houses. We have power over our children and our wives, and that's the grace that God gave to us. But when it comes to things outside of our houses, the church has the authority, which is a long-standing tradition handed down. I won't get into that part, but really what people need to understand is you talk about discernment, and discernment is a very big key factor in not just things in life, but in spiritual warfare.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
The definition of that is the diminishing of one kingdom and the flourishing of another. So as God's saints or chosen people, we help God's kingdom to flourish and to help the devil's kingdom to diminish. So when we have these situations, and we have the burden of proof, when we actually realize there's things going on, we can feed into that. And we can feed into that by recognizing these things that happen, challenging them. And I'll tell you a story about Ed and Lorraine Warren. They had a priest that came over and was very good friends with Ed and Lorraine, and they were having lunch. And Ed said, you want to go down and see the museum, which he doesn't let people in as much as, he used to. But the priest actually grabbed the doll, Annabelle, and said, "I don't believe in this. God is more powerful than you." And he kicked the doll. And Ed got very upset with him. And he's like, "Why did you do that? That was not a good thing to do." And the priest, he left. When he left, he actually started to have trouble with his car when he was driving. And he said, when he got into the accident, the last thing I looked at was the face of the doll. He could see an image of it in the mirror, and it caused issues. And I got a phone call not too long after that, and the priest was crying, and he was very apologetic. And, you know, the main theme of this is that we truly do not know the capabilities of evil forces. We are not to challenge them.
That's right.
We are to understand that, yes, we do have the ability to do what is called a level 3 exorcism, according to the church, that laity are allowed to perform. It is not to be performed.
Yeah, this information is very helpful information, I think,
yes,
for everybody to hear. Because what you're doing is alerting us to the reality of what it is that we're messing around with. We think we're having fun. We think that this is interesting, all of those kinds of things. But we don't realize that we are messing around with powers and principalities, the rulers of this present darkness. And we're told in scripture not to do that. As far as the exorcism goes, I know that there are prayers that we can pray for spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. I know that we can pray binding prayers. I don't know if that's exactly what you meant there. But Sue, how do you respond?
Well, I love what he was saying, because especially his point about authority. You don't have the authority over these really about things outside of your home. And I found like a lot of the things that Michael said, I thought he must have read the book Liber Christo by Dr. Dan Schneider, because so much of what he was saying seems like it came right out of that book. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, if something happened to that priest after having kicked the doll, the object could have been cursed. It's possible that the object is cursed. Mm-hmm. So that's very, very possible. So
yeah, and there's
he gave good advice there, though. He did give good advice about being careful.
That's
about
right.
Attacking these things is you don't have authority.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, obviously there can be retaliation, and that's what I think that what he was referring to there is that, mm-hmm. you know, the way in which you can get a pushback. And that's what the priest experienced in a very dramatic way. As far as authority, I think that Michael's absolutely right. We have authority over our homes. However, when we bring the occult into our home, we're giving up that authority.
Yes.
We're turning that authority over. So, you know, because we have and I think that Michael is in agreement with this, but what I don't want people to think that because I have authority over my home, that there is no danger in bringing Ouija boards or any of these things into the house. There is a danger. And the best thing that you can do is clean your house. You know, by cleaning your house, I mean get rid of anything in your home that is of the occult or is of a pagan religion, anything that, you know, an artifact that you picked up in traveling that you is indigenous to, you know, the spiritual practices that could go on in various areas. I think that that's really important to do. I want to move forward because we've got just a couple of minutes left here. I want to go to Dean. Dean is in Pennsylvania as well. And he has a conflicting, I guess, questions about hearing things that are conflicting about Tai Chi. Hey, Dean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jeanette? This is my first time calling.
Oh, well, thank you. Here, I'm going to ring my bell for you. We're always happy to ring that first time caller bell.
I was looking at different ways to exercise. I Googled and saw Tai Chi that, some parts say stay away from it completely. Other parts say, well, just as long as you don't participate in the spiritual part of it and the Chi, because the Chi is not really anything. And I know yoga is a bad thing. So I just wanted to get a little more clarity on the, you know, if I just do the exercises and I'm not participating in the spiritual aspect, I mean, is that good or not?
Okay, Sue, go for it.
Yeah, Tai Chi, that's a form of martial art. It's a Chinese martial art. And there are three elements to it. And if you're going to be doing Tai Chi, that's going to be the movement, that's going to be the meditation, and the deep breathing. And the problem with this is that it's really based in Taoism. And that's a religion. That's a religion. Although there's nothing objectively wrong with the physical movements of Tai Chi, there's a lot of philosophical elements that are contrary to Christianity, such as, you know, the idea that the physical world comes from dualistic principles, which in turn come from an ultimate force, which is Chi. That can't be reconciled with the idea that the universe is created by an all good personal God. So really what you're doing is you're involving yourself in another religion. It's not just an exercise. This is another religion. Now, we do have a blog up on our... Yes, it is. Exactly, Johnette. Exactly. Like, we have a blog about it, which is called Why Tai Chi and Catholicism Don't Mix. And it'll give you a more thorough explanation of that. If you just go to newage.womenofgrace.com and scroll down to Tai Chi, you could read it.
Yeah. Thank you, Dean, for your call today. And call back again. We're always happy for our first-time callers. Matt out there in Fallon, Nevada, we're not able to get to you, Matt, but he's listening to us via YouTube. He's 19 years old, and he wants to thank us for what we do, Sue, right here on Wacky Wednesday. And, Matt, I want to thank you for thanking us and letting us know that you, as a young man, understand and appreciate. Give us a call back another time, Matt. We'll get you up on the air here. Well, it's been great being with all of you today. Sue, I'm so happy when Wednesday rolls around and we can be together on the air.
Me too. I love it.
Continue, friends, to go out to our blog, our New Age blog, available for you at womenofgrace.com. Lots and lots and lots of questions and answers on a variety of topics available for you there. Till we're together again, God bless you.